Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, brought to you today by our friends at ZipRecruiter. Right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. And we'll have a lot more to say about that a little bit later in the podcast. No good martinis today. We've got crazy, bad, and crazy. Yesterday, all the punditry, all the people who love to make puns on Facebook and Twitter, were having a field day because of reports that are now completely blowing up in their faces, namely by BuzzFeed and CNN, that Donald Trump was presented last Friday by memos from the intelligence community that the Russians had compromising information on him, the most salacious of which was that he found out which suite the Obamas stayed in Moscow. And then he hired prostitutes to do various things in there, namely urinating on the bed. So a lot of urine puns in there. Turns out that there's not a lot of validation to this. Even BuzzFeed, who broke the story, says they haven't been able to verify any of it, but they wanted to publish it so the American people could make up their own minds, because the American people have access to all sorts of highly classified intelligence information. As you report in the Jolt today, Jim, a lot of it's falling apart, namely that Trump confidant and attorney Michael Cohen was never in Prague when allegedly Russians and the Trump campaign were colluding last summer during the campaign. So a lot of people drooling over this story, but the more people look at it, it looks like fake news has struck again.
I was not expecting urination to come up this early in the podcast today. we probably should make some distinctions here and give a little bit of credit where it's due. CNN reported about the heads of the intelligence agencies telling Trump about this, i.e. that the Russians think they have dirt on you, and this is the version of it. It was BuzzFeed that said, but CNN said they could not verify the allegations and really kind of wrote very generally about it. We can argue about whether that's the right call, but we know that the intelligence chiefs did hold this briefing, and I think that is legitimate news. BuzzFeed, on the other hand, says, "Oh, you won't print the 35 pages? Here they are." And it was kind of fascinating, twisted reading. Clearly, somebody's working on a screenplay, I suspect. My corner post and a good chunk of the Morning Jolt today was all the things that just didn't quite make sense about it, including the allegation that Putin was motivated by fear and hatred of Hillary Clinton. The hatred I get, the fear? Really? Ex-KGB guy who's, you know, the most ruthless bad guy in the whole wide world, and he's really afraid of the woman who sold him, who signed off on the deal that gave him 1/5 of uranium production in the U.S.? Really? You know. Then the idea is later on in this account, the Russian government and Putin were very concerned about the blowback and very concerned about the fallout from the DNC email hacking. This is back in July. Did it seem like that story was spinning out of control and going to really be trouble for Russia? I wasn't. That part didn't particularly ring true, but the part that really looks like it's a torpedo strike below the waterline is that one of the most specific assessments in it is that Michael Cohen, Trump's longtime lawyer, traveled to Prague in the Czech Republic and met with Kremlin officials. A couple hours after the story came out, Cohen posts says he's never been to Prague and posts a photo of his passport. Other reports have confirmed he was at the USC at a baseball game with his son on August 29th. Wall Street Journal adds that the FBI found no evidence he's ever traveled to the Czech Republic. So if that, you know, does this disprove the entire thing? Well, if this part is that glaringly wrong, we should be really wary and skeptical of everything else in it. You know, is it safe to say that Trump has said some things about Russia that seem oddly friendly and optimistic and a way too generous assessment of Vladimir Putin? Sure. But you can't just attach the most salacious and twisted and overwrought potential theory of why he's doing this. Or at least you can't do that and call it journalism. I think BuzzFeed has done, besides itself, an enormous amount of damage. I think it's actually done journalism a great disservice with this. That people already are wary about the media. They should be after things like Rolling Stone and reports like that. But it's kind of fascinating. Right after this great denunciation of fake news, these, you know, really implausible stories that Pope endorses Trump, coming from Macedonian teenagers you see floating around Facebook, then when the actual institutions of journalism do things like this, you don't put something out there and say, look, we have no idea if this is true or not, but it's really fun to read, so here it is. You know, that's not what journalism is all about. Because if you can do that, what do you need the reporters for? All you need to do is to get the documents. And the fact that some of this stuff seemed reasonably easy to check out really is kind of disgraceful for that. So I think the main damage to this is going to be to BuzzFeed. But, you know, Greg, you and I know there are people in this world who, because it makes Trump look terrible, they will choose to believe it. And so I think in a way you could argue it is a form of fake news, every bit as much as Pizzagate and the Pope endorsed Trump and all the other crazy stuff floating around.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure there are folks out there saying, well, now that Trump won and the Republicans are in charge, you guys are just being nice to him. Wait till the third martini. Just wait till the third martini. All right, on to the bad martini now. President Obama gave, I think it's past tense now, his farewell address. He took almost an hour. I looked, as he was just droning on last night, Jim, I looked up on YouTube, how long did other people go? Maybe I'm just feeling like this is going on forever. Ronald Reagan took 21 minutes. George W. Bush took 13 minutes. Bill Clinton, who you think would go on forever, took 7 minutes. As I tweeted last night, at that point, Barack Obama was at 40 minutes, and by then the full transcript was out, so you could tell he was nowhere near being done yet. He took another 10 minutes. It was somewhere between 50 and 55 minutes by the time he was done. Of course, he had the live audience there. A lot of the same soaring rhetoric that we heard back in 2008. A lot of him taking credit for things that actually aren't good or didn't really happen. But here are some of the classic Obama moves that we've come to be quite annoyed by, but have come to expect as well over the years. It's mainly Barack Obama trying to say that we really just need to be able to understand one another, and then, of course, proceeding to demean those who disagree with him. So here's one of his come-together lines.
Each one of us need to try to heed the advice of a great character in American fiction, Atticus Finch, who said, "You never really understand a person until you consider things from his point of view, until you climb into his skin and walk around in it."
But that didn't stop him from rolling out a lot of different straw men, Jim. Here we go on race issues.
If every economic issue is framed as a struggle between a hardworking white middle class and an undeserving minority, then workers of all shades are going to be left fighting for scraps while the wealthy withdraw further into their private enclave.
And, of course, blurring the lines on immigration.
If we're unwilling to invest in the children of immigrants just because they don't look like us, we will diminish the prospects of our own children, because those brown kids will represent a larger and larger share of America's workforce.
He later compared illegal immigrants, although he didn't use that term, to Irish and Italians from previous generations. And then, of course, he went on to demean people who don't agree with him on climate change and a whole host of other issues. So, Jim, he's going out as he came in and as he held the presidency for 8 years, a lot about himself and pretending to be above it all when he's pretty petty along the way.
Yeah, it was classic Obama, and perhaps an indicator that really who he is actually has not changed very much from the job. I'm sure a lot of people would say, yes, that's wonderful, and I'm not quite so convinced of that. you talked about the length there, Greg, and I'll make one qualified defense of that. He does have a lot to explain, doesn't he? I mean, if you delivered the country to the happy result, to you know, nirvana, to, you know, the era of hope and change and land of milk and honey and the streets are paved with gold, Well, job well done, huh? I'm out of here. It's basically all that you need to do. And that's the abbreviated version of Reagan's 13-minute address. I believe his closing words were, "Not bad, my friends, not bad." That's not where we are now. You don't elect Donald Trump if the state of the country is strong and doing well and confident about the future. You don't reject a Democratic nominee who has enormous structural advantages in the race and who – Obama goes out and says, "This is the next best thing to another 4 years of me." I guess if I were in his case, maybe I'd want to go to Chicago and hear all my old friends and old fans cheering my name and kind of reliving the glory of election night 2008. But deep down, we know the actual state of the country. We know that these 8 years have been a disappointment at best, and almost all of the assessments, other than the most dedicated partisans, are kind of looking at this and recognizing, you know, this was not what America expected it to be when it signed on for 8 years of Barack Obama. I guess I can't blame him for wanting to make himself feel better and make his supporters feel better. But I think that the country tuned out on this guy quite a while ago. And more of the attention is on the incoming guy. And boy, he's had an exciting morning already.
Yes. And just a couple different things here. First of all, if he'd actually spent time talking about his record, I'm sure we would have disagreed with his interpretation of that. But mainly, he had a few paragraphs on that and then a long lecture on America. I'm disappointed in you. You can do better than this. You didn't follow my lead well enough. And when you go back to the Reagan speech, his one of his closing lines was, "We left the city stronger, we left the city freer, and we left her in good hands." To that, after 8 years of Obama, I would say no, no, and to be determined.
Yeah, look, the other thing is, you know that if let's be optimists, Greg, let's assume that a year from now the country's doing better. Let's assume no major ISIS or other terrorist attacks. Let's assume that economic growth gets above 3% for the first time in more than 8 years. Let's assume that wage growth is up. Let's assume that people are feeling really bursts of confidence for the future. Let's assume that the repeal of Obamacare has not turned into a disaster. First of all, let's assume Obamacare is repealed. Maybe not a safe assumption, just right, considering what we're hearing from Capitol Hill these days. Let's assume that the world is more at peace. The waves of refugees are no longer flooding Europe. You know, things are better. You know he'll be out there and saying, look, it just took a while for my policies to kick in.
Mm-hmm.
You know he'll be out there saying, look, all these good times going on, they're all because of what I did. It just was a delayed effect. Recovery summer finally came 8 years later.
He's going to be out there. That's the worst part of it. He's not going to fade into the background with dignity like the Bushes and others have done over the years. But he's going to be out of a job soon, late next week, and that's a good thing. There's already been another person hired for the job. He'll take over. But the question now for our listeners is, it's the new year, which means a fresh start for your business, and a great year starts with making great hires. But posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. You know as well as we do, if you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. But that takes forever. But not anymore. Now you can do that with the click of a mouse. With ZipRecruiter, you can jumpstart your hiring in 2017. Post your job to 200-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click.
Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No more juggling emails or calls to your office. You can quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by more than 1 million businesses.
And right now, the listeners of the 3 Martini Lunch can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. One more time, to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. All right, on to our last crazy martini here, Jim. And with Donald Trump now, 9 days before inauguration, there's obviously a lot on his plate. He held his press conference today talking about a number of different issues, mainly the disposition of the Trump Organization, but also some issues related to his incoming presidency. A lot of things on his plate. He's got Obamacare. He's got the economy. He's got job creation. He's got ISIS and all sorts of foreign policy challenges. For some reason, he spent time yesterday speaking with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. about autism and vaccines. Here's NBC.
A member of the Kennedy political dynasty who favors fringe theories on vaccinations over mainstream medical practices says he would lead a new vaccination safety commission under Donald Trump. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. meeting with the president-elect today, even as a spokesperson for Trump, tells NBC News he's exploring the possibility of forming a committee on autism, but adds no decisions have been made at this time.
President-elect Trump has some doubts about the current vaccine policies, and he has questions about it. He says his opinion doesn't matter, but the science does matter.
That science already settled with every major medical association in agreement. Doctors debunking a study that years ago falsely claimed a link between vaccines and autism.
Jim, this issue has come up before. It came up during the campaign. Trump's basic position is one that's not all that different from Rand Paul, actually. He says he's pro-vaccine. He's just not sure that the vaccine should be given out in such big doses to such small children. They should be able to be spread out with smaller doses at various times or whatever. The problems here, of course, are that, A, he's spending time talking to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Two, he's spending time talking about this issue. And three, he's giving credibility, I guess, to a lot of people who have far crazier ideas about vaccines than even he does.
Yeah, we should point out, Greg, that as usual, the statement that comes out from the professional communications team at Trump Tower is a little more nuanced, not necessarily agreeing with Kennedy's direct statement. They said, look, this is one of many topics he's interested in. We're thinking about establishing a commission to study the issue of autism, and I think very few people would disagree with that. Nothing has been decided about who's going to be on it or who's going to be in charge of it. So it's quite possible that Kennedy walks away from the conversation with an impression that it's not fully accurate, or maybe Trump is making promises to everybody who comes in through his his office. I did hear a little while back that Barry Switzer, the former college football coach, went to Trump Tower. Walked past the media scrum, waved to everybody, went upstairs, didn't go all the way up to the office of Trump. He went up one floor and visited the Starbucks, drank his coffee for 15 minutes, came down and told the assembled media that he had a very good meeting with Mr. Trump. He's very interested in being the position of Secretary of Offense, not Defense, because defense had been filled. And it was a very productive conversation and more news to come. And quite a few agencies reported this is true. There is no Secretary of Offense position. If you and I were in New York, Greg, you and I would know we would be walking through there and creating some sort of CEO. I'm heading up the weed agency. But so, look, it's entirely – but here's the thing. In general, Robert Kennedy Jr. is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Yes. And if he were – people, there was an interesting debate yesterday on Twitter about whether he gets a pass for being – for advocating policies that will kill children. Does he get a pass because he's a Democrat, or does he get a pass because he's a Kennedy? You know, they kind of a little bit of overlap there. But the point being that this is not somebody you should want to see President-elect Trump meeting with, chatting with, particularly on the topic of vaccines and stuff. I know there are some people who argue about the proper age for vaccines for children. There are maybe some legitimate questions around the edges of this. But, you know, Kennedy is one of those guys who believes the medical community wants to give your kids autism and all kinds of creepy, you know, cuckoo stuff for that. So I got to tell you, Greg, it's going to be easily, you know, meeting with Robert Kennedy and kind of, you know, coming across as vaxxer has got to be the craziest thing Trump's done since yesterday. And all overtaken by the questions and his answers in the press conference today. So just try to keep up, everyone. We just thought this one deserved a little extra attention.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, I love that Barry Switzer story. And, you know, the wishbone was a pretty effective sleight of hand on offense. So maybe their military can use that in some way. I don't know.
It could be an espionage some way. Yes. Yeah. Director of Offensive Intelligence.
There you go. We need some of that, especially with cyber warfare whipping up. I'm not sure Barry Switzer is all that clued in on cyber warfare, but who knows these days. Jim, fun day. Talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to visit our friends at ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. Our listeners can now post jobs there for free, ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. And please join us Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.